to bring the word forth. I bless the Lord for my husband, the father of four children. We have many children. Yeah. Yeah, we thank God for each one of them. Yeah, we bless the Lord because they are a blessing to us. We thank God because when they enter into that van, you know, fine always tells me that we have to hit the side, you know, like Kenya. And we say there's no more space for anybody else. But we thank God because they are, yes, they are a blessing. They are a blessing. Yes, praise the name of the Lord. Yes, and so we are trying to ask our brother Julius if he can catch up with us. I don't know what he's thinking, but we are still waiting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, welcome, Brother Muruti, into the house of God. So I welcome my husband. He's the sugar in my tea, the bread, the butter on my bread. He is the hot cocoa on my tea. He is the milk. Yeah, so welcome my husband here. Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
How can I preach after I've been told all those sweet things, man? Wow. You need to be saying that more. Okay. Give you the microphone more. Okay, you get it. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Praise the Lord. You know, after I've been told I'm a chocolate inside the tea, or what was it? She said the chocolate inside the cocoa. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Amen. I wanna bless the Lord with this is a song that I used to love. I used to lead a worship, you know, in a church back in Africa. And this song, every time I would sing, I would feel the presence of God come down, and I would sing it in my house. I would sing it all the time, even as I would go to work. It's a worship song. You're my refuge. Is that key? What key is it? You're my refuge and my... Go lower, a little bit lower. You're my refuge and my strength. You're the God of my salvation. Mighty Prince of Peace. Is that the key? You're my refuge. Let me sing and then you catch it up. You're my refuge and my strength. You're the God of my salvation. You're the mighty Prince of Peace and the Lord of every nation. And of your power there will be no end. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lamb. You're my refuge and my strength. You're the God of my salvation. You're the mighty Prince of Peace and the Lord of every nation. And of your power there will be no end. Hallelujah. You're the God of my salvation, mighty Prince of Peace, and the Lord of every nation. And of your power there will be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us appreciate the Lord. It is a good thing to sing a new song every day. Amen. As you get in your shower, sometimes, you know, that's the only time some of us sing. When you're not being seen by anybody and when you're not aware that somebody is listening to you. So whatever that sound comes, just sing. Sing unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you guys. I really appreciate every one of you. Amen. Happy Father's Day again. Amen. This morning I'm excited for what the Lord has done. I'm excited that He has redeemed me by His precious blood. I'm excited that I'm a sojourner. I'm excited that there is a place that is preparing for each one of us. And the Bible says that when that place is ready, when those mansions are ready, He is going to come for us and He's going to take us home. Amen? That is the hope that really floods my heart and excites me to know that I'm a sojourner. In spite of the challenges that we encounter, in spite of the hiccups that we experience in life, it is very, very essential for us to keep that hope alive, knowing that there is a home that the Lord is preparing. And He said that when the place is ready, He said when it is ready, He's going to come for us. Amen? And so that place better be good, because it has taken Him all that time since He was here on earth. Some of you know that whenever construction begins in America, it takes just a short time, right? When you begin to see the bulldozers clearing a place, you know that it's going to take a short time. I come from a place whereby when they started a building construction, you'd know that it would take a long, long time, right? They bring stones, they haul stones, they bring, all kind of stuff that is necessary, and it takes a long, long time. But here in America, what excites me, once you begin to see those bulldozers, it's just a question of time, right? You see the 635, they just started on the 635 just the other day. And very, very soon you'll be zooming through the highway, and you wouldn't believe that it is the highway that, you know, quite a few months ago it was so impossible to pass. So I know the place the Lord is, if it takes a shorter time for the most developed world to build such a thing, and the Lord has taken all that time to build my mansion, that mansion better be good. Amen? Hallelujah. It will be fitted with all kinds of technology. You talk about technology. You know, maybe you'll be speaking something just by a tap of your finger. I don't know whether we'll be tapping a finger or just looking at something and it understands what you're saying and it just comes to you. Anyway, I'm excited. I want to go there. But before I go there, I have some work to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. How many fathers do we have here today? Praise the Lord. I thank God for each one of you. The Lord laid a special message to bring to us fathers. But before I begin to bring that message, I ran across some two funny jokes here I'd like to read to you. And then we can hear the word of the Lord. Is that okay? Now, this is a joke that I saw. It is about the right choice. Now, this is what it says. Ryan, a 16-year-old boy, was out late with friends one night. Suddenly, he realized it was Father's Day, and he had neglected to buy a card for Dad. As some of you, I know some of you have not even bought a card for anyone, so you might be fitting in the class of Ryan. After much searching, Ryan located an open store, but was disappointed to find only two cards were left on a picked-up rack. Selecting one, he brought it home and somewhat sheepishly presented it to his father. Upon opening it, Dad read the message, "You've been like a father to me." And the father looked at Ryan, puzzled. And then Ryan understood why his father was looking at him intently, and he said this, "Well, Dad," Ryan tried to explain, "it was either that or the card that said, 'Now that I'm a father too.'" You get the joke? Okay, the other one is about the drink of water. A small boy is sent, I think I've seen this one before, so I don't know whether you've seen it before. A small boy is sent to bed by his father. 5 minutes later, he calls, "Dad!" And if his father says, what? I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water? His father says, no, you had your chance. Lights out now. 5 minutes later, the son calls out again, Dad! And the father says, what? And the son says, I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water, please? How many of you identify with that? I identify with Jeremy doing that sometimes. Okay. And this is what he says again. I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water? And the father says, I told you no. If you ask me again, I'll come and spank you. 5 minutes later, the boy says, Dad! And the father says, what? And the son says, when you come to spank me, can you bring me a glass of water? Oh, how many of you can identify with that? You know, this little boy, sometimes they can drive the fathers crazy and the mothers crazy. But it is part of the bringing up of the children. It's an interesting thing because every time I have an opportunity to, you know, take care of the children, it could be maybe changing their diapers or they're trying to play tricks on you. Even little Joshua here, you'll be surprised how much God puts in the mind of a human being, be it little, that they will even want to pull one on you. And sometimes these children think that they know too much, way more than we are. And they would like to play the tricks that you also played for your parents, and you know all the tricks in the book, praise the Lord. But it is an interesting thing, you know, even as we bring up children, for those of us who have children and have an opportunity to have children, to experience how it kind of like mirrors the relationship that we have or the relationship that there is between us and our father. And sometimes I find children, you know, some of the kids, you know, they might even play a trick on you. They might lie and you know that they're lying on you, or they might do something wrong. But then you recall how many times you've been unfaithful to your father, and you are able to cut them a break, praise the Lord. So thank God for the children that you have, because every single day they remind you about the relationship that exists between us and the Father, praise the Lord. And so, excuse me, when I was thinking about what I was going to come and share with us here today, I couldn't just deviate from the fact of thinking about fathers. And I remembered, I was really reminiscing, actually this morning I called my dad and I told him, you know, Dad, I just called you to wish you Happy Father's Day. And he was so excited. Amen. I've never had that excitement in a long time. He said, oh, thank you, son. Thank you for calling me just to wish me Happy Father's Day. And I couldn't just help but, think about the so many things, positive impact that I received from my dad, you know, from when I was a young kid. I know in a congregation like this, there are some of us who never had a life with their father. There are some of us who may not have really, maybe the father was never home, or he was busy, or maybe the father passed away maybe earlier on when maybe your young children, you're a young kid, or maybe you were brought up by your father and you were very close. Now, for me, however the situation is, I thank God for what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 68, verse number 5, the Bible says that if you don't have an earthly father, our heavenly Father is your father. Amen? In fact, the Bible says that God is a father to the fatherless. Amen? And a judge of the widow. So if you didn't have a physical father, you know, an earthly father, you are not alone, praise the Lord. Because the Bible says that God, the Lord God, our God, is a father to the fatherless. So if you didn't have a father, or if you cannot identify with your father, you have one that you can identify with today. And his name is Jehovah God, amen? And so I had my father, you know, he had some negatives that I saw, now that I'm grown, I'm able to look back and really there are some things that I didn't desire. However, there are some things that when I recall that I recall, you know, my early childhood with my father, like taking me out, you know, I'll never forget this, you know, he would sometimes, he had a really old car and he would put me behind, you know, on the back seat, and he would ride with me, and we would go to a butchery and he would order some meat, and I remember him, you know, bringing me some pieces of meat, you know, barbecue meat, you know, on a chalkboard, and he would tell me, just eat that, and he would disappear for the next 30 minutes. I didn't know where he was, and he would show up, and then he would go back home. The other thing that I can remember, you know, the impact that my dad showed me is the sacrifice of bringing us up. At the moment, I could not understand, you know, what was going on, but later on, as I grew up now, I'm able to see what my dad had to go through. We grew up, we were about seven of us, and he had to take us to school. My dad was a principal of a primary school, and some of you know that, you know, those people never used to have a lot of money. But I can't remember any one time that my dad sent me out to high school and failed to pay my pocket money. So he sacrificed a lot. He also taught me how to be an entrepreneur. You know, and those are some of the things that I can recall. And when I remember what he did, I'm very, at the back of my mind, I'm so appreciative for what he taught me. Praise the Lord. So, some of us, as I said earlier on, you know, you may have not received any impact from your dad, but you know what? The thing is this: the negative things that I remember experiencing out of the life of my father, I have purpose to make them positives in my life. I have purpose to make them positives in my family. Praise the Lord. So you can pick up those negatives that you may be holding on for quite some time and choose to convert them into some positives. Praise the Lord. And that is going to create an impact in your life. It is not only going to create an impact in your life, but it is going to create an impact to your family and to the people that you relate with. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when I think about a father, and just like most of you, I know there's no way we can think about a father and fail to think about our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is patient. Our Heavenly Father is loving. Our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally. Our Heavenly Father thinks about us. Our Heavenly Father cares for us. And it is almost impossible to match up His qualities. You know, He is so patient with us. If we were given just an opportunity to be God even one single minute, maybe this world would be normal. You know, because we would be angry at people who do wrong to us. We would be angry at people. Maybe we'll be angry at the situations that we face in life. But God is God, and He is faithful, and He is patient, and He is loving. He loves us unconditionally. And sometimes it is so difficult for us to put ourselves in the position of God or to think the way God would think, because naturally, our natural tendencies when somebody wrongs at us is to seek vengeance. You know, that's the natural inclination of a human being. When somebody wrongs you, somebody cuts you in the traffic, you want to do them what they did to you. You know, even though you are a Christian and at the back of your mind you know that is wrong, you know, that is a natural tendency. You wish you would have a chance so that you can also show them a little bit of what they did to you. Praise the Lord. If somebody cut you or somebody wronged you and they did a sign, you know, showed you a finger sign, and in your back of your mind, actually last week somebody, I don't even know, out of the blues, you know, just somebody just passed me and he honked at me and he flashed a finger sign, you know, and some of you who have been flashed a finger sign, some of those finger signs are not really interesting. You know, and I felt like in my natural tendency, I felt I wish that guy, you know, he's so faster than I am going right now, but I wish I can overtake him and some, you know, do something, you know, maybe come close to him so that I can scare him. That was my natural tendencies. But again, I felt like, oh, you cannot do that because you're a born again Christian and you're supposed to depict the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. But anyway, that's our natural tendency. So it's very, very difficult sometimes to put ourselves in the shoes of God. when we fail many times and desperately fail when we think, when we want to think how God thinks. The aspect of thinking that God loves us unconditionally, that, you know, in spite of the things that we do, He is still, if we ask for forgiveness, He can forgive us. Praise the Lord. You know, that you, whatever, you know, the Bible says that if your sins are as red as a scarlet, all you need to do is confess Jesus, accept Him in your heart, and boom, right there, He's ready to forgive you. Now, that is God. And those are the characteristics of our Father. The Bible says that so He is the Father to the fatherless. So if you never had an earthly father, if you had a heavenly father who mistreated you, or never had a life with your earthly father, the Bible says that God, our Lord, He is the Father to the fatherless. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, Moses speaking to the children of Israel, admonishing them about what God would require from him. This is what he says in the book of Deuteronomy 6, verse number 5 to 9. You've read this before, and so I'll just read it aloud so that, and I think it's going to also be there. The Bible says this: You shall love the Lord God your God with all your hearts and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Now, who is directed? Who is this message written to? This message is directed to the parents. It could be the fathers, could be the mothers. But the Bible talks about, I mean, is Moses speaking? This was the Lord actually speaking through Moses, and he is speaking to the parents, and he is telling them that these commandments that I give you today shall be not only in your hearts, but this is what I want you to do. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now, the Bible says, the beginning of all knowledge, the beginning of all of everything, the foundation of acquiring whatever we would want to acquire here on earth, the foundation of it all is first of all to know God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be done what? Shall be added unto us. Praise the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't think there is anything that pleases or nourishes the heart of God than to see a generation that is pursuing Him, a generation that is seeking His fellowship, a generation that is connected to Him. And that's why it was very, very important, you know, for Moses to speak this statement in the hearing of the children of Israel, admonishing the fathers and admonishing the mothers, telling them that the commandments that I give you today are not only going to be in your hearts, but in order to preserve the integrity of the Word of God, in order to preserve the integrity of the covenant that He set up with His forefathers, that it was important for us to take that responsibility to pass over the commandments and the stipulations or the statutes of the Word of God to our children. It is the responsibility of the fathers. It is the responsibility of the mothers to teach the young children, to teach them about the statutes of our God, to tell them who our God is. Let me tell you, in a land like this, in a country like America, where there's so much technology, there's so much involvement and so much of things that are called on us to perform, there is the pressure to provide for our families. There is the pressure to pursue our careers. There is the pressure to meet with the standards that have been set by this country. And it is very easy to find ourselves doing so many things and neglecting the most important duty that the Lord has given us, and that is bringing up our children. Now, this is what I have realized. Fathers, fathers, are you in the house? If we have fathers in the house, can you say an amen? Amen. The duty of training up our children in the ways of the Lord, sometimes we have neglected it, and sometimes we have handed that responsibility over to our schools. We have handed over the responsibilities to the Sunday school children. But I want you to know, if you're a father, if you're a mother, that the first responsibility that has been given to us is to train up ourselves, our children, into the ways of God. Amen? Now, you may ask, how do I train up my child in the ways of God? The first and the foremost of how we can train up the best, actually the best of the best that I believe, is the best way you can train up a child in the ways of God is you yourself being a model to that child. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Setting an example in how you perform your duties, how you talk to your children, how we talk to our spouses, how we relate with other people. Let me tell you, you may be surprised to know how the rate of absorption of our children, the quickness or rather how our children learn by us setting an example. You know, our children are so observant of what we do. They are so observant of what we say. Praise be to God. And they observe by seeing and by looking and by hearing. Praise be to God. And sometimes we may not even realize that they are listening. Sometimes you might even just disqualify the fact that they are so young, they may not even understand what you're doing. You may pick up a quarrel probably with your spouse and in front of your children, and you might not even know that those children are taking up cues of what is happening at the home. I remember many years ago, something happened in our home, and the way you do things, you know, sometimes you do things when your children and you wonder, these children are so small, they don't even understand what they are doing. And my son Ron was young at the time, and you know, in front of everybody in the house, he came in, he was trying to do, you know, like, I don't know what they were, he had a diaper and he was trying to do something that was funny, and he looked out of place, and we wondered, you know, how did he pick up this? But you know, I came to realize that these young children pick up so much. They are like a sponge, and they observe through seeing you, seeing how we do things. Praise be to God. We are the greatest model. Let me tell you, you hand over your school, your kids to the school, and you think that they're going to train them up in the right way. There's all kinds of stuff that are being taught in schools. By the way, if you're not aware, there are all kinds of stuff that these children are interacting with. They're interacting with cultures that we are not familiar with. And so it's very, very important for us to, every single time, every single day, ensure, especially this is the duties of the fathers, praise be to God, make sure that we set up a family altar whereby we can share the word of the Lord with our children, and we can pray together, praise the Lord. And you know, how are they going to learn the word of the Lord if we don't take that responsibility of training them up in the ways of God? We have to seize every opportunity that we have and be a model to those children. And the Bible says that when they grow up, they will never depart from there. I can smell fish somewhere. Somebody can smell fish? Okay, I think Jesus is around now. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we have a big responsibility to bring up our children in the ways of God. Now, when I was thinking about the Father's Day, I went through the Bible, and there are some characters in the Bible that were fathers, and I thought maybe we would just look at a few. There are several. There are many of them, actually, who depicted they were just good fathers, and we can borrow some of those characteristics from this man. Now, it is so easy, you know, for fathers, for some of us who are bringing young children, it's so easy to take the children to the park, you know, and just throw a football. It's so easy just especially when the kids are young, you're pushing their bicycles, you're trying to help them learn how to ride a bicycle. Those little things, you know, those little things like you know, you're going to the park and you're trying to push them as they swing, you know, and you're trying to play with them, you know, try to carry them on your back. It's easy, and anybody can do that. But there's the most impactful things that many fathers fail to recognize is to impact a character that will outlive their young and tender age. And so I would like us to look at a few of these men that when I think about what they did, they leave an impact, you know, not only to us as a church, you know, as the entire body of Christ, but they have left an impact to the generation. And one of these men that I want us to look at is a man called Noah. Somebody say Noah. Now, most of you know who Noah was, and he is mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, verse number 5 to 10. So you can read about the story of Noah then. Now what we read about Noah, we can read that. When the Lord saw that the man's wickedness was widespread on the earth, and that every scheme in his mind and thought, the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. Chapter number 6, Genesis 6, 5, and I'll read through 10. This is what the Bible says. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry. Somebody say sorry. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Can you imagine? The Lord was grieved at this particular moment. Everyone in the land, everybody on earth, had his heart set up to iniquity. And the Lord was grieved. He regretted. Can you imagine that state of mind that got to God and he said, I am so sorry that I created man. This is exactly what he said. I am so sorry that he had made man on earth. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. Now, if some of you who are Bible scholars, you know that is a very strong statement. And God means what he says, and he says what he means. But listen. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. He was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Anyway, I'm not interested in anything past verse number 10. The most important thing is to know the situation that was taking place at the present time. Man has reached at a point whereby he is so anti-God, and he is filled with iniquity, and sin is prevalent throughout the face of the earth. And the Lord looks down and he says, is really this the people that I created after my own image and after my own likeness? And when he looks at the whole generation, and when he looks at the entire humanity, he sees sin and iniquity, and he sees all kinds of manner of sin, and he regrets, and he says, I regret why I created man. Think about this. And the Lord moots up a plan, and he says, I am going to finish. I am going to destroy the entire humanity. I am going to have this earth as in a formless shape and form just before I created man. But the Bible says, but among that generation, there was one man. Somebody say one man. So is it okay to be, you can choose to do something different than what the majority are doing. Praise be to God. And this is exactly what happened. And this is exactly what excites me when I read about God. That even when Abraham was in Sodom and Gomorrah and as they were departing, and Abraham engages God with a conversation, he says, how about if there were 10 people? How about if there was several people? How about if there was just one person who loves you, who cherishes you, who calls upon your name? The Lord would spare the city. Praise be to God. And the Lord looks at the entire human race, and he sees one man that the Bible says that he was blameless before him. Praise be to God. Now, do you know how old Noah was when God looked and he was just about at the blink of destroying the earth? Noah was 600 years. Praise be to God. 600 years. And when God looked at the whole face of the earth, this father was found blameless before the Lord. He had a family. Praise be to God. Do you know why not for Noah, none of us will be here? Did you know that? Did you know just because of his righteousness, just because of his blamelessness before the Lord, none of us would be here? Because there was no one who was found to be worthy. There was no one who was found to be right with God. Praise be to God. I want to challenge us this afternoon that no matter what people are doing and engaging themselves in your city, in your community, you can choose to stand and be righteous before the Lord. Amen? You might be in an office where everybody steals stuff and they talk ill about the organization and they do all sorts of things, some things that you do not approve of, but you can only be the only one in that office that can stand for righteousness and stand for God in that place. And let me tell you, God can take that company far just because of you. You might be the only one in the community. It could be maybe that community would have been long destroyed or long maybe intruded by gangsters and robbers, but just because you're the only one there who is righteous, the Lord looks at that community and says, I cannot allow anybody to interfere with this community just because Sister Caroline is in this place. And no wonder maybe your community has been saved just because you decided to stand for righteousness. Praise be to God. What can we learn about this father? That out of his making a concise decision to stand for righteousness, not only was his family saved, but he has saved the entire generations of the whole earth. Praise be to God. Suppose when God looked at the entire humanity, there wasn't anybody like Noah who was righteous before the Lord. The entire humanity would have been destroyed. But I thank God for Noah. Praise be to God, that he stood up for righteousness. Can we have fathers today who can stand for righteousness? Can we have fathers in our communities who can stand for what is right? Can we have fathers even in our places of work who can say, who will not even team up with the wrongdoers, who will stand up for what is right and say, I cannot stand in this office and allow this thing to happen. I cannot allow to see you stealing some stuff in the office. I cannot allow certain things happening in my community because I know God and I have an identity with God. Can we have fathers who can say that? Praise be to God. Sometimes, you know, it is wise to take the low road of the minority. You can only be the only one standing out, but you're standing for the righteousness. But just because of what you have chosen to do, God can accomplish wonderful things for us. Praise be to God. Noah later is given instructions by the Lord to build an ark, as most of you know. And you know how long it took? Faithfully, there was no rain. God, I mean, he just depended upon an instruction that was given to him by God. And he spent about 100 years, almost a generation, to put together the material and to build an ark for a rain that he had never seen. Praise be to God. having a hope on some instruction that he received from the Lord God Almighty. And let me tell you, it was not easy for Noah. The Bible says that people came and mocked him. People came and laughed at him. People came and thought that he was crazy. People came and put him down thinking, oh, what are you doing? You are just a crazy father. What do you think you're doing? We have never seen rain. You say that it's going to rain. And that's why you're erecting this tall structure of an ark. And he was mocked. But you know what? The Bible doesn't tell or record anywhere where Noah neglected or gave or caved in to the mockery. Praise be to God. Do you know how many times people are going to put you down because of taking a stand for righteousness? Do you know that the moment people know that you're a child of God, it's just that you invite it's kind of like you open up a whole can of worms. People trying to attack you from the left. People try to attacking you from the light, from every direction. But one thing you must know, that you're standing for righteousness. It is not going to be easy. It's not going to be just a smooth ride. But the moment you stand for righteousness, God might be looking at you in spite of the pressure that you experience. God might be seeing you in the future. He might even be seeing a generation in the future. He might be seeing even some great things that will be happening in the future. But just because you're standing for righteousness, those things will happen because of you standing for your faith. Praise be to God. Are you listening to me? So Noah is a superhero father to me. And let him be a superhero father to you because of standing for righteousness. Now there's another man that I really love. His name is Job. Praise the Lord. In the book of Job, chapter number 1, verse number 1 to 5. There's something I love Job about what he did. He may have gone through trials and tribulations, and I know we are honored by his story because of the things that he went through, the trials and the tests that was so severe that he never gave up his faith in spite of provocations from his wife even to asking him to curse God and just give up the tile and just surrender. You know, we really benefit from so much from that story, because when we encounter adversity, we are able to reflect at the man Job, and we're able to identify with what he went through, that in spite of his adversity, he came out victoriously. But there's something that really blesses my heart. In verse number 5, I think it's in the first chapter, and let us read there. Let us read from verse number 1. This is what the Bible says. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and was upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. I hope by now you notice the characteristics of this man, that they are men who fear God. They are men who stand for righteousness. Verse number 2. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 10 children. And also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all. He was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and he would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Verse number 5. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. Let me tell you, that really blesses me. Now, there are a few things that we learn about Job. What do you learn about Job? Job was a father, right? And according to the scriptures, Job also was a wealthy man. Actually, the Bible says that he was the greatest in all the East. Now, what do you know of what is, what are the characteristics you know of people who are wealthy? They're all immersed in their wealth. And many times, very few people you'll find that are wealthy who are really concerned with many other things, particularly things that are related to God. But there's one thing that blesses my heart concerning Job. It really blesses my heart. And this is what it says. That in spite of all this property, in spite of all the wealth that he had, the Bible says that he was blameless before the Lord. In other words, he never put his wealth before the Lord. May the Lord God help each one of us that when we walk in the streets of this country, when we enjoy the abundance of what this country offers, that we are not going to forget God. Amen? When God causes us to blossom in our businesses, when God gives us good careers which pays good money, that we are not going to neglect what God, what we have known about God. The statutes about our Maker. The Bible says that in spite of all this wealth that he had, in spite of all the fame, in spite of all the greatness, he was the greatest in all the East, but Job feared God. Job was, Job feared the Lord. Praise be to God. And this, in verse number 5, it really blesses my heart. He honored God to an extent that he was so cautious that his sons and daughters would go out to party and sin against God. In other words, he was a man who really was completely aware of his service unto the Lord. He was a man that was completely given to his relation to the relationship between him and his father. And may this prayer, may this attribute that Job had be on our fathers today. That in spite of the wealth that God is going to give you here in America, in spite of the favor that, because God, for sure, God's hand is upon any foreigner who is in a foreign land. Praise be to God. And as long as we are connected up with our Father, guess what? God is going to bless us. He is going to give us favor. He is going to give us, open up doors of opportunities, opportunities where we can make wealth. But as long as God continues to do that, while he is doing that, let us not neglect the things that we knew about God. As it is for many people. Are you listening to me? When God blesses you with a nice car, let that car be used to serve the Lord. Let that car be washed Sunday morning, ready to go to the house of God. Let it transport you to go and serve the Master. Praise be to God. When God blesses you with a good home, when God blesses you with a good business, when God blesses you with good connections, do not just put it to yourself. Release yourself to the services of the Master, and the Lord is going to bless us. Amen? This is exactly what Job did. And the Bible says that he even prepared an offering. He prepared to a sacrifice to the Lord God, even for sins that he didn't know that had been committed by his children. He did that just in case that they went to party and maybe one of the sons, you know, went out with a girl or did something or spoke a word that was filthy or something that would bring an abomination to the family. He just offered sacrifices every day for every single one of them. Now, during one of the sessions in the Bible study, we read about how sacrifices were offered. It was a tedious process. And they used to do it, you know, if you did it for one, you couldn't just generalize it. And it had to be done in a particular way. Now, think about 10 children. And the Bible says that he did this regularly. Praise the Lord. I would call on our fathers that make mention of your children every single day. Do not allow a day to go by. Fathers, how many fathers are here? Lift up your hand again. Please, I beseech you by the mercies of the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, when we arise up in the morning, I know we are just about to, we want to take on the road and hit the road and go. Make sure that we mention our children before the Lord. Mention them by name. Mention your spouse by name. Praise be to God. Speak into their future. Tell the Lord something, what you'd want them to do, what you'd want God to do for them in their future. Pray for their future families. Pray for their future spouses. Pray for their future connections. Pray for their future careers. Pray for their future, whatever the Lord's Spirit, that the Spirit of God lays in your spirit. Let us not be just people who are ignorant and assume that things are going to be okay. I am telling you the truth. If we don't pray for our children, it is not going to be well. Amen? God is moved by our hearts to intercede for our children. And so, even though you may not even have a child, begin to pray for that. I've told people, like, for example, when your wife is expectant, for those of you who have experienced maybe pregnancies, you know, and right now I'm thinking about Wamboi right now and Tony. You know what I normally do? As a father, lay your hand on that tummy, whatever it is. Lay your hands over that child. Prophesy over that child. Say, you know what? I declare. Because let me tell you, you can alter the genetic makeup of your children. If the devil intended to confuse the genetic makeup of that children, you can make it right by your prayers and by your prophecies. I declare that my child will be intelligent. I declare that no connections that are sent by the devil, no assaults, I cancel every plan of mine. I cancel all the plans of the devil over my child. In the name of Jesus, my child will be a nay student child. I declare that my child will be this and that. Whatever you want your child to be. There is power in the words that you speak, fathers. God has made us the priests of our homes. Amen? You represent God in your family. Hello? When you speak a word, God honors your word. Are you listening to me, fathers? When you speak a word, it is honored by God. The Bible says, declare a word and it shall be. Declare a thing and it shall be done what? So there are some things that we may not really be experiencing because we do not declare them. And it is the responsibility of our fathers, of the fathers, to declare certain things in our families. And they will happen. It may not really happen that particular time when you're making that declaration. Hello? But it might happen in a determined time in the future. You may pray for their families. You may pray for their future lives. You may pray for their future careers. Pray that there's not going to be any antagonism, you know, that would happen, that will come, that the devil will not succeed to derail them. And it will happen. So declare a thing, and it shall happen. So Job, he prayed regularly. The Bible says that he prayed regularly. He did this regularly. He made it a habit. And I would like also to challenge our wives too. If you're in a home whereby sometimes I know we are caught up as men, we are caught up doing so many things in the business of providing for our family, challenge your man wisely. Tell him, oh, it's time to pray to pray and read the Bible. My wife has done that so many times. You know, she told me, okay, she would call me over the phone, and I could be maybe in the middle of so many things, and she says, it's time to pray. So whoever you're talking to, can you hang up? Tell them it is family altar time. And, you know, whenever she says that, I have to say, yes, ma'am. So we have to pray together, pray for our children, and maybe read the Bible together, and then they can go to sleep. Make it a habit. And even, you know what, you do these things, and there will be, the children catches up. They're able to catch this. Amen? Praise be to God. The next man that I would like to examine that has been, I looked and I know he has been a blessing to all of you, is a man called Abraham, the father of all faith. Now, there's a particular verse that I liked about Abraham. Abraham was old, and the Lord actually regards him as my friend. But there's something that is very, very unique in the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, verse number 19. And if we can go there, please. I think we can begin from verse number 18. I think it will bless you. Genesis 18:18, and we can read there. Abraham, praise the Lord. Abraham was a father. And he was not a father until he was quite advanced in age. He kept, he held on a promise, and even though he held on the promise, It doesn't say that Abraham was a perfect man. He, you know, he had his own shortcomings as well, you know, but as well as his wife, you know, they compromised. They were not patient enough, and they almost gave up their hope. You know, he was not a perfect man, but God regards him as his friend. Praise the Lord. Now listen to Genesis 18:18. This is what the Bible says. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, I love this. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Can you all say after me? All the nations of the earth. Come on, say like you mean it. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. You know, when I read this, I was so excited. I said, I am blessed. Because the Lord declared so in Abraham. He said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. So there's no reason any one of us should be feeling like they're not blessed. Amen? Because the Lord declared at that particular moment that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through who? Abraham. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. That is very, very powerful. I'll read it again, verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. In another translation, this is what it says. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children in his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. And this is what is tied now to this promise. So that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Do you listen to, are you hearing this? So in other words, God is speaking to Abraham and he is telling him that I'm giving you some responsibility. The responsibility that I'm giving you is that you may teach your children, or the children that will come after you, the statutes about me. And when you do that, when you accomplish that responsibility, I, Lord God, will ensure that every piece of a covenant or any agreement that I've made with you will come to pass. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is, what is the Lord telling us? That when we take up the responsibility of bringing up our children, fathers, when we take up the responsibility of passing over the commandments of God to our children and the children of our children, when we ensure that there is that transition that is passed over to our children, the statutes about righteousness, about what God requires from us, about loving God, about having a fellowship with God, when we pass these statutes to our children, then the Lord says that I will ensure that every promise that I made with Abraham, every promise that I've made with you, will come to fruition. Praise be to God. I love this. I love this. And exactly, this is exactly what Abraham did. And that's the reason why today we are partakers of the promises that God gave to Abraham. If we fail to do that, then it means obviously that we will not receive the promises, or the promises that the Lord God, because there is always a condition tied to a promise. And the condition that was tied to this promise was that he would pass over. He would be responsible enough to bring up his children in the ways of the Lord, so that the Lord would bring to fruition every single promise that he promised Abraham. Praise be to God. And Abraham, in spite of his flaws, we don't have to be perfect. I mean, I identify with Abraham because I'm not a perfect person. I'm not a perfect father. I fail. Sometimes I make decisions that when I, you know, later on, I regret why I made those decisions or why I said something. And when I look at Abraham, he was not even perfect, you know. He was not perfect. He is with a wife, and his wife comes to a point whereby they feel they're so advanced in age. You know the story. And the wife just, you know, tells Abraham, I think at this point, I don't think I'm able to give birth to a child. And so you just go out with my maidservant. And Abraham just, you know, he was overcome by that temptation. And he went out with his maidservant. And you know how Ishmael came by. Praise the Lord. So I can identify. We all can identify with Abraham. But in spite of that, God is able to forgive him. And he is able to give him a piece of instruction, and he falls through, and he says, once you do this, I will ensure that the promises I give to you will come to fruition. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. The last daddy that I love and I consider a superhero is Joshua. Amen. I know we have a Joshua here. Praise the Lord. Joshua. I also have a son called Joshua. Amen. Turn your Bibles into the book of Joshua 24, verse number 14 to 16. That's going to be our last scripture. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 14. Okay, this is what the Bible says. Joshua chapter number 24. Verse number 14 to 16. Now therefore, fear the Lord. I mean, I'm so amazed, you know, every one of these fathers, they have a concept of fearing the Lord, honoring the Lord, putting the Lord first. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll do what? We will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 16. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. See, Joshua already made a concise decision. And he is speaking to the people, and he is telling them, guys, I have been through it. I have witnessed the majesty of God. I've witnessed how God has brought us through. I've witnessed how God can demonstrate his power. And there's no way I can turn back. I don't know whether some of you have forgotten about what the Lord God has done for each one of us. But you know what? Each one of you has a decision to make. You can decide to fall back to the gods of your forefathers. You can decide to just neglect to be connected with the Lord Jehovah, whom has displayed his power and majesty. If you want to forsake, if you want to think as evil serving the Lord God, your God, it is okay for me. But as for me and my house, I have decided that I will serve the Lord. Amen. In spite of all the things that you will encounter, in spite of other people falling away, are we going to have fathers who are going to say, as for me and my family, as for me and my household, no matter what comes our way, no matter the situations that we encounter, no matter the problems that we are challenged with, no matter the impediments that we face in life, as for me and my house, oh, glory to Jesus. I am the head of my family. Fathers, I am the priest of this home. It doesn't matter what our children say, but as long as I am the father of this house, as long as I am the priest of this home, I declare that as for me and my house, as for me and my children, as for me and my house, as for me and my wife, we will serve the Lord. That is exactly what Joshua said. Sometimes there might be a conflict, maybe within a family, or children trying to rebel. But you know what? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me tell you, church. As children grow, sometimes, you know, you may do what you may have to do to bring up your children in the ways of God. And sometimes, you know, children can go astray. They can go do other things. And you might be disturbed that, you know, they have neglected the ways of the Lord. But as long as those words have continued to be spoken from your mouth, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take to bring them back to the house. Are you listening to me, church? It might even happen when you are old. But because you made that declaration before the Lord, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's no place so far the Lord cannot reach. There's no mountain that anybody can go where the Lord's hand is too short to overreach there. They can even get into whatever kind of a crevices whereby people feel that where can you hide from the Lord? But you know what? The words that we speak out of our mouth have a creative power. They have a creative power, especially the words of a father spoken directly to a son, spoken directly to a daughter. They continue to create things when you speak a word, when you say that you shall never fail. Let me tell you, those words begin to create miracles in the future on behalf of those children. Are you listening to me? So do not feel that you cannot speak a word that is positive in spite that because of the situation that you're experiencing currently. You might be looking at the whole situation and it looks hopeless. You might be looking at the whole situation, at the world, the way the situation is. And you might be thinking, this is all done. But when you speak those words, our words are like fire. Praise the Lord. You know why I say that? Because in us, we have the word of God. When we speak those words and quote the words of the scripture, those words are not your words. They are words that have been marinated with the love of God and the concept of God and the godliness in them. So when you speak them, they're not just mere words. Even though you might think they're just mere words, let me tell you, parents, listen to me. If you don't listen to anything that I say today, listen to this. Do not hold back words of encouragement to your children. Do not hold back words of blessings to your children. Whether it is out and in of season, when it doesn't even look like it is happening, say, you are going to be great. Because the moment you release that power, it no longer becomes your own word, but God takes that word and begins to create with it the things that are supposed to be connected with that child. Are you listening to me? If we would know this, if we would know the secret of speaking positive and powerful words of our children, we would be speaking it every time. You know? Speak them to those little kiddos as they play, because you never know how they're going to end up. Speak to them. Speak beautiful words upon them. Let us not be like the old parents who did not know God and they were calling us, you know, words that they, every word. You know, I'm like when my mom never used to, she never knew God. You'd pass and do something, she'll call you ngombe wewe. You know, there are people, parents who call children even today. Words that you know, they tell you, oh, you are useless. You will never amount to anything. Never speak anything even you. By the way, be careful in your anger. Because, you know, let me tell you, especially mothers, we are so connected to our children. And when the children really come against us or they are doing wrongful things, it is very easy to, in your anger, to speak things. Please tell the Lord to zip up your mouth when you're angry. Go take some coffee to rejuvenate your spirit before you can speak a word. And only speak words that are going to build them. Because when you speak that word, are you listening to me? That word is powerful. You call them ngombe today, unless you recant that word, when they grow up, they'll be moo. They are taught when they're in the classroom, but all they are thinking is about grass. All they are thinking is about milk. How they are going to be milk. So, I mean, let us choose our words wisely. Parents, can we do that? Can you, even having good, let me tell you guys, things that we see here are spiritual. Even the thoughts that you think about your children, do you know that they are thoughts that are not spoken, but the fact that they are still in you, they are powerful. The thoughts can emanate from your brain and from exude from your body and from your spirit and be directed to somebody. But when you have got good thoughts concerning your children, that this children is going to be a fighter, this child is going to make it, this child is going to be a success, this child is not going to be a loser, this child is going to excel in school. You may not have spoken it, but you're speaking it in your mind. Okay? And the fact that you may not even be seeing it, but the fact that you thought about it, it is so impactful. How many of you do that? Or someone, you know, your child, you know, you see your child messing up around. You feel like you want to shred them, put them in a shredder and tear them into pieces. No, don't think like that. Because let me tell you, if you are not very careful, somebody might shred their finger somewhere someday. Think good thoughts about your children. Amen? Amen. And don't even accept whatever people say about your children. Protect them. That's why God has given us the mantle as fathers to be the priests of our homes. I refuse for anybody to say, even teachers to say anything negative concerning my child. Amen? I refuse. And I pledge to protect them no matter what. I'll protect them. Because that's why God gave me that our responsibility to protect our children. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And Joshua declared, as we all stand, he said, as for me and my house. It was not easy. He was living in the midst of people who could even doubt the authenticity of God. But he said, you can decide to do what you do. People can even rout and go against the Lord. But as for me and my house, I will honor God. As for me and my children, I will honor God. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, church, that is a strong undertaking that every one of us, it's not easy to say that you're going to serve the Lord with your home, with your household. There are all kinds of challenges that would come when we decide to make that commitment that I'm going to serve the Lord in spite of people just doing whatever they want to do. I am going to serve the Lord. I am going to stand for what is righteous in the name of Jesus. Shall we stand on our feet in the name of Jesus? Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity that you've given us to celebrate our fathers. Lord, being a father is such a noble responsibility, such a noble thing. When we think about a father, we cannot fail to think about what you are to us. You are our Father. You love us unconditionally. You're so patient with us. And even when we mess around, you still want to put your hands around us and tell us that you love us. Thank you. We appreciate you, Lord. Some of us, Lord, if we were to go by what we have done for you and by the standards of our unfaithfulness, we would be long gone. But just because of the extension of your mercy, we are still here, preserved by you, God. Father, some of us spoke things concerning the work of the ministry, and we thought about quitting, and we thought about how hard it is to deal with the people that you put in our lives. But even in spite of that, we are still here. You've preserved us and you're patient with us. Help us, Lord, as fathers, to take on your character, to be ready to forgive to those who go against us. Father, to be able to be, to carry the responsibility, take care of our children, our wives, and our communities. Father God, your heart is to the fathers. And you said in the last days you shall bring back the hearts of the children to the fathers and the heart of the fathers to the children. I thank you, Heavenly Father. I pray for every single father in this house. I pray that you shall strengthen them. I pray that even when they feel so weary and like they're almost giving up, Lord, on their responsibilities to provide for their families, that you shall energize them. That, Father God, they will be focused. And, Father, like Joshua, like Moses, like Abraham, like Job, they will choose to be righteous and blameless before you. Many times we don't even know how to do it. We don't know how to be a good father. We don't even know how to be a better husband. We don't even know how to be who we have called to be. But I pray that you shall show us how we ought to be better fathers. We've been called to impact our generations by passing over the statutes of the gospel to our children, teaching them the concepts of faith, teaching them about the good characteristic, the character of Christ. Father, in spite of all the challenges that we meet, help us not to neglect this most important duty to pass over the legacy of Christ to our children. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, if there be any need in our midst, oh Father, I pray that you shall stretch forth your hand and meet with it today and now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We honor you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, our Lord. And somebody who loves the Lord said, amen. Can you appreciate the Lord, please? Amen. God bless you. Amen.